Thank you for calling the Dial a Story Hotline. This is The Nightingale and the Rose by Oscar Wilde. The student looked up from the grass and listened, but he could not understand what the nightingale was saying to him, for he had only knew things that were written down in books. But the oak tree understood and felt very sad, for he was fond of the little nightingale who had built her nest in his branches. "Sing me one last song," he whispered. "I shall feel very lonely when you are gone." So the nightingale sang to the oak tree, and her voice was like water bubbling from a silver jar. When she had finished her song, the student got up and pulled a notebook and a lead pencil from his pocket. "She has form," he said to himself as he walked away from the grove. "That cannot be denied to her. But has she got feeling? I'm afraid not. In fact, she is, as most artists, she is all style, without any sincerity. She would not sacrifice herself for others. She thinks merely of the music, and everybody knows that the arts are selfish. Still, it must be admitted that she has some beautiful notes to her voice. What a pity that they do not mean anything, or do any practical good." And he went up to his room, laid down on his little pallet bed, and began to think of his love, and after a time he fell asleep. And when the moon shone in the heavens, the nightingale flew to the rose tree and set her breast against the thorn. And all night long she sang her song, breast against the thorn, and the cold crystal moon leaned down and listened. All night long she sang, and the thorn went deeper and deeper and deeper into her breast, and her lifeblood ebbed away from her. She sang first of birth, of love, of the heart of a boy and a girl, and on the topmost spray of the rose tree where blossomed a marvelous rose, petals following petal as song followed song. Pale was it at first as the mist hangs over the river, pale as the feet of the morning, and as silver as the wings of dawn, as the shadow of a rose in a mirror of silver, as the shadow of a rose in a water pool, and so the rose that blossomed from the topmost spray of the tree. But the tree cried to the nightingale to press closer against the thorn. "Press closer, little nightingale," cried the tree, "or the day will come before the rose is finished." So the nightingale pressed closer to the thorn. Louder and louder grew her song as she sang of the birth of passion in the soul of a man and a maid. A delicate flush of pink came from the leaves of the rose, like a flush of the face of a bridegroom when he kisses the lips of his bride. But the thorn had not yet reached her heart, so the rose's heart remained white, for only in nightingale's heart's blood can crimson the heart of a rose. And the tree cried to the nightingale to press closer against the thorn. "Press closer, little nightingale," cried the tree, "or the day will come before the rose is finished." And so the nightingale pressed closer. The thorn touched her heart, and a fierce pang of pain shot through her. Bitter, bitter was the pain, and wilder grew her song, for she sang of love that is perfected by death, of the love that dies not in the tomb. And the marvelous rose became crimson, like the rose of the eastern sky. Crimson was the petals, crimson as a ruby was the heart. But the nightingale's voice grew fainter, and her little wings began to beat, and a film came over her eyes. Fainter and fainter grew her song, and she felt something choking in her throat. Then she gave one last burst of music. The white moon heard it, and she forgot the dawn, and lingered in the sky. The red rose heard it, and trembled all over with ecstasy, and opened its petals to the cold morning air. Echo bore it to her purple caverns in the hills, and woke the sleeping shepherds from their dreams. It floated through the reeds of the river, and they carried its message to the sea. "Look, look," cried the tree, "the rose is finished now." But the nightingale made no answer, for she was lying dead in the long grass, with a thorn in her heart. And at noon the student opened his window and looked out. "Why, what a wonderful piece of luck," he cried. "Here is a red rose. I have never seen any rose like this in all my life. It is so beautiful that I am sure it has a long Latin name." And he reached down and plucked it. Then he put it in his hat and ran up to the professor's house with a rose in hand. The daughter of the professor was sitting in the doorway, winding a blue silk on a reel, and her little dog was lying at her feet. "You said you would dance with me if I brought you a red rose," cries the student. "Here is the reddest rose in all of the world, and you will wear it tonight next to your heart, and we shall dance together, and I will tell you how I love you." But the girl frowned. "I'm afraid it will not go with my dress," she answered. "And besides, the Chamberlain's nephew has sent me some real jewels. Everyone knows that jewels cost far more than flowers." "Well, upon my word, you are very ungrateful," said the student angrily. And then he threw the red rose into the street, where it fell into the gutter, and a cart wheeled over it. "Ungrateful," said the girl. "I tell you what, you are very rude, and after all, who are you? Only a student. Why, I don't believe you have even got silver buckles to your shoes, as the Chamberlain's nephew has." And she got up from her chair and went into her house. "What a silly thing love is," said the student as he walked away. "It is not as half as useful as logic, for it does not prove anything, and it's always telling one of the things that's going to happen, and making one believe things that are not true. In fact, it's quite impractical. And, as in this age, to be practical is everything. I shall go back to philosophy and study metaphysics." And so he returned to his room and pulled out a gray, dusty book, and he began to read. That was The Nightingale and the Rose by Oscar Wilde. For previous Dial of Stories, visit the archives at kirkwoodpubliclibrary.org.